Well, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. So today what we're going to be doing is picking up with our healing prayer series. You know, I'm in the middle of this series, so I'm trying to stay with this for the first of the month, which I love doing. But it's also neat we have so many readings, you know, to talk about as well. So, but I think they really do play into what we're going to be talking about, especially the Hebrews passage today. But we've been doing a monthly service after Oneg for healing prayer, and then I've been bringing a message on healing prayer. We've covered inner healing for a few months, and now we're more into laying foundations and physical healing today. My intention through this part of our series, is to really lay foundations for healing prayer in a Messianic Jewish context that's healthy and that's balanced and that becomes a normal part of our lives. Where praying for healing prayer in Yeshua's merit becomes a normal part of our lives. If you have missed some of those, I know some people here are new and whatnot, and you have questions about what I'm going to say today, it really picks up on some of the things that we've talked about and some of the other foundations that we've laid in terms of, you know, healing prayer in a Jewish context. And last time we talked about how we might handle hesitations and doubts and fears that many of us, including myself, experience around praying for people in a more, like we talked about, up close and personal way, rather than just, you know, praying from a distance. We talked about what do you do when you pray for someone and nothing seems to happen? And so we talked about that and how we can be free to pray for people with a high expectation of seeing results while not being held hostage to the results of what happens. I just want to qualify that what we're going to do now is a little bit different in that I'm going to move away from the theory and try to get into a little bit more of how-tos, how to do this. And that really picks up on some of the foundations that we've laid before. So let's go into that. I'll just start by saying that praying for physical healing really takes courage for Messianic Jews, I think, because the results are very measurable. And you can see right then sometimes. Last week, one of my mentors, Mike Evans, told me over FaceTime, we were doing a FaceTime call, and he was telling me a bunch of stories. One of them was when he prayed for a deaf person, totally deaf, he said, and I confirmed it. I was like, really, totally deaf? And he's like, totally deaf. And as he was praying, the man's ears were opened and he could hear when he was praying. And I don't have time to share too many, but there were like, I mean, he said I could share hours of stories. You know, I shared, I think, last time about a blind person that he prayed for and was able to see. I'm convinced these things really do happen, and we've been seeing things like this even in our community, but it's a hard thing to talk about because it's like, really? A deaf person, you know, hearing? Wow. You know, that's like the Gospels, right? It is like the Gospels. But sometimes I think that we feel like only special people who lead those big healing services that you hear about, you know, they're the ones who can do this, and we can't. But here's the thing, in the middle of the night when your child gets sick, who's going to pray? And we all have to do this. And I want to suggest that there is an element of gifting here, I believe, that some people might experience more healing when they pray than others for some reason. And it doesn't mean they have more faith or it doesn't mean they're better. It's just maybe there's a gifting here. But it doesn't mean that we all can't still step out and pray. Because you may have that gifting, but you're not sure, you don't even know it because you never step out and do it. That may be true of some people here. I believe that every Yeshua follower can pray for the sick if we want to, because Yeshua told us, he said, go and heal the sick, speaking to all of us who follow him. And, you know, in reality, I think that a minority of healings actually take place at those big healing services. More people are healed by prayer one-on-one. That we never hear about. I believe God's healing all over the place, and he can use you to pray too, and we just have to step out and do it. That's why I want to talk about some of the how-tos, and if there's one thing to take away from this, it's let's take a step and take some risks and try this. Let's really just try this with each other and without. But as we get into the how-tos, I want to say that a list of steps for how to pray for someone is really artificial. I feel like I need all kinds of qualifiers for this. Because there's no formula for this. It's like God is not a soda machine. We're not doing, if you do A, B, C, then this will happen. God's a person that we're relating to. It's very different. And there isn't one way to do it. And if you start listening to other people talk about this, they'll have their own approach that is unique. And each modality has a different way of doing it, what they've found to be successful. I want to say that, and this is really important, this has been really important for me, that if you start, if those of you decide you want to start learning about this and praying for people more intentionally, God doesn't need more people like John Wimber or Francis McNutt or Robbie Dawkins or whomever you may hear about out there that in your circles. He needs more of you out there. You see? He needs more of you out there. And so you're going to find your own way to do this. And that's what he wants, because he didn't make you those people. And that's really important. So I want to suggest three kind of guidelines that I'm going to walk through and then talk about how we can do this. And it's listen, love, and pray. Listen, love, and pray. And this is sort of like a model that I think can follow. If you keep these three things in mind, then you'll be okay. As a guideline for praying for people, I found that in an average time of prayer, whether it's a longer 90-minute prayer session that we do here during the week, or whether it's just a few minutes in passing, more than half or maybe even three quarters of that time is spent listening. And sometimes you're, you know, listening to the person share. And listening to a person share their story or what's going on for them is sometimes the healing itself, especially in inner healing prayer. Because so often people have no one to listen to them or no one to ever hear them. And just being heard is healing in and of itself. It's really important. But also we're listening to God for insights and to how to proceed and really, really expecting to hear something. We like to say one ear to God and one ear to the person. You know, we have two ears here. An example, you might be, you know, about to pray for someone and you'll have a sense even before the person shares about what's going on. Sometimes people feel like, you know, there's a knee pain, they suddenly feel a pain in their knee and they know that's the area to go. And I'll get into more about that when we talk about words of knowledge a few months from now and stories and things like that. And in my own personal experience, I feel like God gives me impressions through my feelings. It's kind of like a thing that I've been realizing where I'll start to feel something that's similar to what the person is feeling. Like the emotion will actually come up and it's like, where did that come from? You know, and it turns out that most of the time that's like what's going on for the person, and then I can go in there. The second is love. And love needs to be our guide. And this is often overlooked, but I think it's the key. Love needs to always be a part of healing prayer. Healing prayer needs to be healing. You see? It needs to be encouraging. So it's not a time to put judgment on anybody. You know, the reality is, like, you can't judge people anyway because the Holy Spirit's the only one that really can convict someone. And so if we do, they just won't listen to us. But it's important that we keep this encouraging and building people up. And so what you do is you love people with Yeshua's love. And you bring them to God and you let him do the work that he wants to do inside of that person. What do you do if you meet someone, you know, and you're going to pray for them, but you feel like, I just can't love this person. Like, maybe you know that they've done something horrible or, you know, they annoy you or something like that. What do you do? I want to suggest you ask. You say, Yeshua, help me to love this person with your heart. Help me to see this person with your eyes, even if they've done something terrible. You know, we still have to love them. Another person in this world, Agnes Sanford, said, never pray for someone if you can't feel God's love for them. Never pray for someone if you can't feel God's love for them. Important. Okay, so now listen, love, and then pray. So now notice that give advice is not on the list. And this is hard because most of the people out here, you'll probably agree, who like to pray for people also like to give advice. Isn't that right? Most people who like to pray for people like to give advice too. And so on our prayer team, we teach that if someone's asked for prayer, you know, they haven't signed up for your naturopathic remedies that work for you or your latest dietary suggestions. They really haven't. And actually, it can feel condemning to start pouring all of your advice on people when they just wanted some prayer. It feels like you're trying to fix them. Then they have to argue with you if they don't like it. But when you step into the prayer role, whether, again, a shorter time or a longer time, or, you know, in the prayer room or on the street, you want to create an environment where a person can experience the love of their heavenly Abba, listening and loving, and then simply bring that person before God and ask for their healing. It's really simple. Now, I want to talk about laying on hands for a minute. Mark 16:18 says, "They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover." And I believe it's speaking to us. It really is. "You shall lay your hands on the sick, and they shall recover." This is there, you know. And I don't think laying hands on is required. You might be praying for a distance, or it might not be appropriate in a certain context. And that's okay. But it seems to be that it's helpful to lay on hands. And I think it's because the way that we are created is that there's a flow of energy that comes through touch. You know the story of the woman who had an issue with bleeding, and she came and she touched Yeshua's fringe, his tzitzit here, and it said that she was healed. Yeshua noticed that power had come out of him. Like there was something in that touch that happened. It was like a conduit of some kind. Now, some of you probably have your own experiences of what you feel when you lay hands on and pray for people. Sometimes you'll feel like a tingling sensation if God is present at that time. For me, I experience heat, you know, and it's pretty regularly, you know, experience some heat. And there's a distinction between body heat or someone has a fever and like this kind of heat, you know, it feels different. Ralph, who's actually not here today, but what he shared about his healing from, it was like 20 years of chronic neck pain. And I remember when we prayed for him in our home group on the couch, and we just, like a 3-minute, 4-minute prayer, just like we're talking about now. And I felt a lot of heat in my hand. And it was like a burning sensation, but he didn't know that anything had happened. And he went home, and then in the morning, he was pain-free. And within 2 weeks, he'd stopped all the pain meds that he'd been on for years and years and years and hasn't had that pain since. It's amazing. But I want to say that it's a mystery here, because many times I felt a strong sensation of heat, but I didn't recognize any healing that happened. Recently, during longer soaking prayer times, you know, like one time I'm thinking of over the course of 90 minutes, I experienced a sensation of heat come and go several times throughout the 90 minutes. I'm not sure what was happening inside in terms of the healing or not. But I think what's going on here is that it's like God's healing power is present, more or less to some degree. And when his power is present, that's when the healing begins to take place, more or less to some degree. And so if you feel those sensations, keep praying, you know, keep praying if you have time. And it seems that there's like a life current that comes through touch. And other modalities pick up on this too, because I think God made us this way. The big thing is, like with Reiki and some of these other things that rely on touch, is you want to make sure that you're channeling Holy Spirit energy here, not something else, you know. And when we talk about deliverance, we'll get more into that. But just be careful about some of those other modalities. But I think they pick up on some of this. Now, Francis McNutt, who we've been learning from, I've heard him describe praying for people and laying hands on visible tumors. And when his hands are on them, he can see them shrinking. And he takes his hand off and it stops. And, you know, hand comes back on and it shrinks while they're praying. That's amazing. I mean, that's amazing, you know. It really is amazing. We've noticed that with our kids, touch is very, very, very powerful. We have a thing we like to do, filling up on our hugs. You know, and like we like to do long hugs, and it's like this transaction that occurs through the hug, and it's like filling up the gas tank, you know. The thing is, we live in this culture that's so reserved, and people rarely ever get touched. So regardless, people can feel God's love through your hands when you pray for them, and that's healing. Here's the big thing, and always get this, everyone here, listen. Always ask before laying a hand on someone to pray for them. Always say, "Hey, do you mind if we lay a hand on your shoulder, or would you rather not?" Always ask, because they need to feel safe, and then it has to happen in a very sensitive way, and you need to make sure that a person's needs are met in that way. So then we move into the actual prayer. Now, beginning a prayer like that, whether it's short or long, I always like to start by thanking God for the person. You know, you could do that in any number of ways. And then there are two kinds of prayer. And if you get into this world, you'll hear different people argue about which one is better. There's the petition kind of prayer and the command kind of healing prayer. So the petition is more like a simple, gentle request for healing. Like, imagine that you're kneeling in front of Yeshua and asking him, "Yeshua, would you please heal this person?" See, and you can even imagine you're doing that, kneeling in front of Yeshua while you're praying. A command is more like specifically speaking to an issue in Yeshua's empowerment to go and heal the sick in my name. Remember how Yeshua spoke and rebuked the girl's fever, and she got up and was well. He spoke directly to the fever. So the idea here, you may say, well, we're not Yeshua, which is true. But the idea here is that in him, we participate in his life and we participate in his power. And so then we're given the authority in him to speak to the illness to leave. So it's in his merit, we become a conduit for that. Now, out there again, everyone has different ways of doing this. It's like whatever seemed to work for the person, they land on that and they say, this is the way it has to be for everybody. I've seen, you know, some people who seem to see lots of healings really land on this authority kind of prayer, like pain be gone, you know. And others seem to see this similar results with a petition. You know, Abba, would you please take the pain away? So what I'm coming to understand, and this is gradual for me, is that both can really be legitimate. Personally, I think ordinarily it's best to use the petition prayer, ordinarily, because it's a lot more gentle and loving, it seems. Unless you feel that God's really calling you, you know, to be more commanding in that. And we can't universalize this. If there's some element in healing prayer that seems to make a difference, and I say this cautiously, but I think there's some truth to it, some element that seems to make a difference, it isn't so much about the words you use, but about the confidence and the expectation behind them. That makes a difference, a huge difference. We might say that we need to pray with a relaxed confidence. You get that phrase, a relaxed confidence. Our confidence is not that healing will take place in that moment. We don't know whether healing will take place in that moment. But our confidence is that first, that God has the ordinary desire to heal and the ability to heal. And second, that Yeshua has called and empowered you to be an instrument of his healing. That's where our confidence lies. Our healthy doubts that we have lie in the fact that we don't know all the factors involved or whether or not a healing will take place in that moment. Those are the healthy doubts. And we land on confidence that he's empowering you to do that healing. And praying with confidence doesn't mean we need to be loud and showy. You know, some people think we need to be all worked up. How many of you have seen like those TV shows with healing things, or you see someone like getting really worked up about it? You know, like we think if we really want God to hear our prayers, we need to get worked up. But we don't talk with people like that. Why would we talk to God like that, you know? Imagine if at my dinner table, you know, I were to stand up and say, Reina, in Yeshua's name, pass the salt, you know? Like, that would be crazy. No, we need to be, I don't do that. I've never done that. We need to be loving, and we need to be gentle. We need to be conversational, but confident that God is hearing our prayers and answering them according to his will. Confident. There isn't a formula. Everyone will pray in their own way, and every circumstance will be different. Now, it's important that we make healing prayer as normal as possible. Very important. It's as normal as possible. Help people to feel comfortable. It helps them and it helps you to build confidence. This should just be a normal part of your life. When we ask God for healing, this is another key. Be specific as possible. So when you're praying for something that might take place, like if there's swelling or inflammation, you might want to pray specifically that the inflammation go down, that the pressure release, you see? So you want to be as specific as possible, it seems. But that said, I want to say you don't need a lot of words. You really don't need a lot of words. It's okay to ask God to simply heal. And some people I've heard talk about they just like imagine the person up being healed and, you know, like Yeshua healing them. And then they pray in their prayer language for a while. And I like to sort of like pray in my prayer language and step back. And like let God heal. I was like, I kind of get out of the way, you know, at that point. And so it can be very gentle and very freeing. And it doesn't matter whether you pray in a prayer language or not. You can still do this either way. Now, there's often a time component here, and most healing is not instantaneous. Even the most instantaneous ones, there's still a time component involved in that. But remember how I mentioned this last time, Yeshua prayed for the man who was blind, and then he's like, how is it? And he's like, it's blurry. I see trees walking around. And then he says, oh, okay, you know, let me touch you again. He touches him again. And then he can see clearly. That's a pretty big mystery there, isn't it? And we like to say, you know, like, if he gets two times, how many times do we get, you know, to try this? And one of the things that Francis has taught us is that most of the time people just don't pray long enough. A lot of times. And he shared an example of praying for a small foot that was stunted from polio growth. And the example was the foot grew 2 inches and molded back to the shape of the other foot during the prayer time. He said, but it started with gradual pain reduction in the beginning of the prayer. So if they had stopped there, it would have just been a little bit less pain, which probably would have come back as the person started to walk and do other things. But then more and more motion started to happen, and then gradually the structural change happens. And Louis Francis says that the structural change seems to take a lot more power, and it doesn't happen quite as often, because he thinks people often just don't pray long enough. They kind of stop too soon. The other week, I'd been struggling, our family had been struggling with a family virus, that little cough, and I came to services without a voice. Like, I was really having trouble talking, but I was really nervous about it because I had two speaking engagements, one that night and then one the next night. And I was, like, really nervous that I wouldn't be able to talk. And after services here, I think it was Julie and Mark prayed for me right out back here. And they prayed a few times, and nothing seemed to happen. And then I think it was the third or fourth time they prayed. This all took about 5 minutes. My voice just opened up. Like, it was very strange. The other symptoms of my virus didn't go away, but my voice opened up. And I had this resonance in my head. I didn't feel any sensation. I just could talk. And it was cool. Some of you remember, I was like, hey, my voice is better. You know, I could talk. I could feel it different. And it was really neat, really neat. You know, it's a mystery. There's mysteries here. Be sensitive here. If something starts to happen, keep going until your time's up or it seems right to stop or what's happening seems to stop. But if nothing seems to happen after a few times and, you know, like, then maybe you should pray about it. Maybe it's best to leave it there. Because you also don't want to, like, push someone so much that you accidentally make them feel badly if there's no change. You know, that's happened to me before. Like you want to say that something happened just so that the person, you know, you won't discourage them or that they'll stop praying, you know, like, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to make people feel like they're going to disappoint you. We need to have so much confidence that we're okay to pray for healing, whether or not healing takes place. That's the key to not making people uneasy, because your own uneasiness will transfer into the person while you're praying for them. But we still need to step out and take the risks. And the way you learn how to do this is by stepping out and doing it. You just got to do it. The idea is that we want to raise the expectation that something might actually happen, but also put the person at ease. It's like this both and that we need to do. And lastly here, I think it's important that we don't think of healing in black or white terms. Either healing's happened or it hasn't happened during a prayer time. It isn't like that. I like to think of prayer more like medicine. So sometimes healing prayer seems to change or, you know, hastens changes that would normally occur through the regular processes of nature that God made us. So healing prayer might result in a boosted immune system, for example, that would help cure a disease more quickly or more completely than it might otherwise do. Do you see that? It's like our natural God-given mechanisms are part of healing. And so when we pray, we're praying into that to even for those things to begin to change. And so we just don't know what's going on when we pray for healing. Last time I said that healing prayer is like Ruach radiation therapy. And so we might expect that someone might be improved, but not completely healed. You see? And I think that sometimes we'll pray, pain will go away. I've seen this. We pray, pain seems to go away, but then it comes back a few days later, or a week later, or something like that. The thing is, people say, well, I wasn't healed. But I don't think that's true, necessarily. I think it's more that you probably did get better, but not completely, because there was more healing that needed to happen. And then over some time, the problem is exacerbated again, and all of a sudden you have the problem again. And I think that this should encourage us to be able to pray without putting pressure on each other. You know, we don't really need to put pressure on each other when we pray. And then when you finish praying, then it's good to say a blessing over the people and, you know, and release them. And that can be really loving and really, really special. You know, I just want to close here by just talking a little bit about how to get out and do this. It's easier to pray with each other sometimes here at a healing service. But what we're finding is that when you pray for people that you don't know, when you step out and pray for people you don't know, it seems to do wonders for your faith. And the more healing prayer can become a normal part of our lives out there, there's this truth to this, then the more we'll begin to see healing here in a Messianic Jewish context. The more we can do it out there, the more we can bring that in here in our own context, you see? But if we never really step out, it's hard to step out here too, you see? And the key here is that you're available, I may have shared this story here a year ago or something, but it was about a year and a half ago, and we were driving on our way out to the UMJC conference in Chicago, and we had come to a gas station somewhere in the middle of our trip, and we got gas, and I had just checked out and paid with my debit card, and then Raina comes up and hands me a banana. She's like, we need this banana for the baby. And the banana was a dollar, but I didn't have a dollar, and I couldn't use my credit card for a dollar. And so I'm like, what do I do? You know, I just like this. And the woman at the counter was so nice, and she took out a dollar out of her own wallet and said, here, I'll buy your banana for you. And so I said, great, thanks. That was really nice of you, you know. Anyway, later we had dinner, we got back in the van, we were, you know, driving out of the parking lot, and I felt this nudge inside of me. You know those nudges that kind of make you a little anxious? I said, go back and pay that woman back for her banana, and then pray for her. Okay, so I got like kind of anxious. You know, this very subtle sense, you know, so I get anxious, my you know, anxiety stuff comes up, and I'm like, palms get a little sweaty, you know. I'm like, no, I'm not going back there. That's crazy. Totally crazy. You know, we're all in the car. The hotel is a few hours away. It's late, you know. And I started to, like, rationalize this. Like, you know, if I go back and I pay her back, then it would take away from the good deed that she did. You know, I did this, you know. And it's like, I started saying, maybe it wasn't God giving me the impression. You know, maybe it's just me. You know, maybe I'm just being selfish here and just thinking I'm like, too grandiose or whatever, you know. But really, really, I was embarrassed. I think that's really the heart of it, as I was embarrassed. And so we drove out of town. We just kept going. And as we kept going, I got more and more tense and more and more tense. And finally, half an hour on the highway away from this town. And it's like 8:30 at night. We got all the kids. They're falling asleep. I said, Raina, I was like, I think God wanted me to pray for someone back there. You know, and she's like, why didn't you just do it? You know? So we pulled over, and she's like, well, why don't we just go back? So we drove back, even though we assumed the person would be gone and it would be closed. And we're like, well, we have to go back because, I, you know, what else can we do? So we went back and went to the gas station, and then Chaim and I came in. It was a beautiful moment with Chaim. We both walked in, and I went in there, and I gave her, I think it was like a $10 bill for the banana, because I was so nervous. I just needed something to, like, offset this. And I go in there, my palms are sweaty. You know, it's like I was going to ask her out on a date or something, you know. I was like, and I gave her money, and she's like, you didn't have to do that. I said, well, the real reason I'm here is because I felt like God wanted us to pray for you. You know, I was like just hoping she'd be like, well, I don't have any needs, and we could just walk out, you know. And then she started weeping. And it turned out that she was a young single mother in her early 20s, and a few weeks ago she'd had a heart attack in the bathroom of that gas station, and she was on the list for a heart transplant. And she felt unworthy to receive someone else's heart. She felt all these things. And so we're there, and it was this beautiful moment where Chaim and I mean, he was like 5 years old, you know, where we just prayed for her, and it was this beautiful moment. We prayed for healing, we prayed for her to know who she is, and, you know, all these things. And the fact that we had driven half an hour, or total an hour, out of our way to come back to pray for her meant all the much more to her. And so isn't it amazing? Like God used that, you know? He even used that there. And, you know, I don't know what happened with the healing prayer. I wasn't able to follow up with her or anything. I have no idea what happened after that. We just, you know, blessed her and prayed for her and then walked out and left, you know? And, you know, it just really touched us. It was the highlight of our week to do that, you know? And sometimes, if we're listening, God can use us in these ways. But I can't tell you how many times I've missed those nudges and not gone back. Many, many times. Usually it's because I'm intimidated. What is this person going to think of me? You know, or what if I offend them? But, you know, recently I've been learning more and more about this, that we don't even need to really hear God nudge us to go and pray for someone, because he's already told us to do it. He's already told us to do it. And so, of course, we can't go out there and pray for everyone. We can't. But if you see someone who looks like they could use some prayer, and you can afford to take a few minutes out of your day, why not go pray for them? You don't need to think about this in this crazy way, like, is God telling me this or is he not, or going back and forth. You just go and do it, you know? And so we've started this thing here, and I'll close this. We started this thing on our date night. We try to pray for one person out there, you know? And I told you last time about a guy we prayed for with a broken leg and connected him to a church. And the neat thing was he was actually immersed or baptized last week because of that connection, because of that prayer. like a 30-second prayer in a parking lot. And it changes someone's life. It's just amazing to me. And, you know, we were out at the Arboretum the other day, and we were biking, and Rain and I were biking on our daytime, and we passed an older man who was, you know, on his walker and having trouble walking. And so I'm thinking, maybe I should pray for him, but then I got too embarrassed, so I just rode by and said hello. And then I turn around and Rain has stopped. You know? I'm like, oh no, you know, not again, you know, because I know what she does is she flags them down and then waits for me to start praying. That's how this works. So usually what happens is, and I'm telling you this vulnerably because we're all probably the same here, is I get nervous, you know, and I'm afraid that I'll offend someone or that I'll look like a crazy fanatic or something or that, you know, and so I get nervous and my heart starts beating, you know, and then I'll say some awkward prayer, you know, but, you know, we always leave smiling every single time so far. And as far as I know, I'm not sure about the healing here, but he said to us afterward, he said, I felt something go down my leg while you were praying for me. And he was so touched, he and the caretaker that was walking with him, they were so touched that someone would actually stop and care about that person enough. That's just, he kept saying this over and over and over and took our picture. And I mean, like, it was a huge moment for him that someone would care. You see? Anyway, if there's anything you can take away from this, it's that Yeshua's called us to pray for the sick, and we really can do this. And if it feels like too much, just start praying at home. Start praying for people in the congregation. Start praying for your family. And if you're embarrassed, it's okay. It's okay to have those hesitations. It really is. And I'll just close with what Yeshua spoke to John the Immerser in Luke 7:20. When John said, you know, are you the one who is to come? He said, at that very time, Yeshua cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, go back and report to Yochanan what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is preached to the poor, proclaimed to the poor. So the kingdom of God is breaking in. And so let's do this together. Let's bring our faith out into the world. Let's do it. So Shabbat Shalom, everyone.